Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively down here at Pappas. It is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have scratch-offs to give away. I hope this guy wins the $10,000
on
this
one.
I do. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're at Pappas and Glen Burnie, Window Nation, bringing this forth. I've made a big stink about you and, like, having you on. I've been chasing you for 3 months to come on. You chased people to come on this show for 15 years, and I can't get you on. And now you now understand how hard it was to get other people on for me to get you on. It took me 3 months to get you out.
You're in the neighborhood.
Right. And it still was like, I'm texting you yesterday, like, are you committed to this?
I said yes a week ago. You don't need to text me every day. I got
Well, you. I mean, last time you said yes, your knee blew up. And,
yeah, it did.
And the thing, I'm glad that you made it this time because it gave me like another, it was about a month and a half ago, I did the show at Beaumont for you to come out. And you didn't make it. You did Aruba. The Orioles are still in first place. It might not even been in first place when this thing happened with you. So we got all sorts of things to get to. But more than that, this 25th anniversary and these signs and pictures of you and anyone else who's ever a part of my life has made me very, very grateful for all of you guys. So just being a part of like wacky, like no way or say so. This will jog your memory.
Dump Trumpy was the first ones, right?
Correct. September 1st, which is Friday, it will be the 27th anniversary of the first ever sign. And it was the Dump Trumpy signs, September 1st, 1996. So the 25th, I'm doing 25 stories of glory of all the years we've done this. Number 25 is the signs. And the signs, like, you were there that day. Like, you were in charge of the signs, right? Like, handing them out.
For a while.
In the beginning. Right. Well, we didn't have a radio station in 96, 97.
Yeah. I mean, by the time we got to Camden Yards, when the Orioles were in the playoffs, people were lined up waiting to get a sign.
Well,
I didn't have to do much work.
Tell me about that, because I have a couple of these. Here we go. This was one
like
of the
Spank the Yanks.
Spank the Yanks.
Clobber Cleveland, I think, was the other one.
This was a 1996 sign.
That Spank was 96?
Yeah. It has Amici's, Bay Cafe, Brown's Toyota City, Della Rose's,
Bay
the
Cafe.
Downtown Sports Exchange and Looney's Pub in Canton, one location, Looney's. So this
Sports
is
Exchange.
The
is that on the corner of Pratt, right?
Correct.
Right across from
200 West Pratt.
All right.
So Spank the Yanks. It says here for Baltimore's number one sports talk. Tune into the Budweiser Sports Forum with Nasty Nestor Aparicio at 5 to 8 a.m. 1360. So this was the 1996. This is probably the second sign we did. We did Bag the Jags. We have Stomp the Saints.
Bag the Jags.
We have Bag the Jags. This was in 97. This was a Clobber Cleveland. This is a 1997 sign.
For that one right there, I had a hand cart with about six cases, and those things were heavy.
Really heavy.
They were real heavy. And I just literally stood on the corner of Camden and Howard, and people were lined up to get them, so I didn't have to. You know, actually, that day, I got two free tickets to the playoff game. No. I'm lying. Didn't the Orioles play the Mariners in the playoff?
They played the Mariners, and then they played Cleveland after that. It was Mariners.
Right, well, it was the Mariners.
97.
I was doing a nasty booth.
Right.
And a guy came by and goes, hey,
96,
do you want to go to the game?
We played Cleveland. This is a 96 sign. We played them in 96 and then played them again in 97. We didn't do them in 97 because they threw us off the property in 96. They threw us off the property for this and this. These were the 2 weeks in October 96. Angelos had us thrown off. In 97, I never printed them up. I have John Ogden holding these at Hooters. We did the show at Hooters that day. And all the Hooters girls and John Ogden have a picture
of the Gary Williams there, too?
That was an opening day. At Camden Pub.
Camden Pub, that's right.
And that was in 97.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Hooters.
You mentioned Gary Williams, see? And that, so Hennessy did the ugly signs. Hennessy did the artwork on. I'll give him the credit for that. These short, squat little things. This was Budweiser paid for this. So this is a Go Orioles sign. Use Go Orioles, man. Angelos will write you a note and throw you out. And then this was, you know, Hennessy did this because this was Terps, right? So this is beautiful here. So this was after we had the station. It has our logo on it. It says, tune into Baltimore's only 24 hours all sports talk radio station. Nasty 1570 Sports. This had to be 98.
You have all the hosts around the edges?
All the hosts around the edges. Here we go. Sports Guy 7 to 10. The Bob Haney Show 10 to 2. Nasty Nestor 2 to 6. And the sports guy, 7 to 10 a.m. Oh, okay. So the sports guy, that was probably Spiro and Swami. That's what they, yeah, this is Spiro and Swami. So this was a Go Terps sign. So people don't even remember we did red ones, but we did the purple ones. So when people come to you, other than bitching about me or politics or any of that other stuff, they come to you and you say something good about the station, what do you remember about 25 years? What would be your number one thing? Free the Birds. I know you were there for that. I looked through the pictures.
Over the course of 25 years, what was my favorite memory or like number one? I mean, that's a lot of time, brother. I'd have to sit down and...
How many road trips did you go on?
I lost count. I have no idea. I mean, the San Diego one in 96, Ted March Brody was still the coach?
Yes, yeah. 97.
That was a fun trip for me.
I found the pictures of you from that today. I found the pictures of all of us. That is a
I do have a group photo from that. There's like 200 of us.
That is a top 25 all-time WNST memory. It was the first great road tailgate. I mean, our fans are known for tailgate now. You know, Brian throws these parties now 10 years after I stopped doing it. Parking lots, beer drinking, taking over stadiums, you know, like taking over bars. None of that existed in 1997. We went to San Diego, and I remember this is real community organizing, the 97 tailgate, and Joe Enoch still talks about that. Pat from Baldwin talks about that.
Remember the dude that got thrown off the plane as we were leaving? They had to stop the plane and throw the dude off because he was drunk.
Oh. George, I hope you got home. I hope everything worked out for you.
Is that who it
I have
was?
A picture with George. So that tailgate that day, we all got to the Doubletree in San Diego, and I was doing a show with Ralph Rubio from Rubio's Tacos.
Rubio's Tacos.
And Larry Lucchino, who's only got 5 World Series rings since he left here with the Red Sox, right? So Larry Lucchino came and sat on the couch that day, and we did radio. But everybody was like, what are we doing for the game? What are we doing for the game? And I said, well, I wanted to put together a tailgate, and Yogi was there. And Yogi had Yogi's All-American up
Absolutely.
In Bel Air,
or
up in Aberdeen. And Yogi said, well, I'll cook. And Mike from the Roost 50, Mike said, I'll cook. And I said, all right. So my Aunt Jane, were you with us when we went to the Costco?
No.
To get all right, so we went to the Costco in San Diego, and we bought grills. We bought 4 grills. I had a budget for it. I put $200 up. We bought 4 grills. We bought charcoal. And we literally got to the parking lot at like 7 a.m. We set everything up.
Where the hell was I at?
You weren't a part of this?
I was on that trip. I didn't get up at 7 o'clock.
No, you were Johnny Loves ripping it up, I think, down in the gas lamp, what I remember. But we were out in the parking lot that day, and everybody found. There was no Twitter, right? There was no social media. There was no way of knowing where we were. You couldn't. You could call people and say, I'm over at parking lot 10 or whatever, right?
I don't even think cell phones were a big thing at that point.
But it was the biggest party that we were very proud to have thrown it, and it was the beginning of like what has become like a tradition for Ravens fans, going on the road and seeing a game, you know?
You weren't there for this. We did a bus trip to Giant Stadium, Terps, Notre Dame.
I did not go on that trip.
Hennessy ran the trip, and we had like 5 or 6
buses. Yeah, it was crazy.
Ryan Rossum had a bus. I think Haney might have had a bus. Terry Ford had a bus. I had a bus. And I guess it's
and
okay.
They got their ass kicked, right?
I don't
know. Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
No
either
idea.
Way.
By the time we got there, these signs
may have been the ones for the bus, quite frankly, right?
Like, they may have been.
Yeah.
He got Captain Harvey cold cuts.
Okay, right.
And there was
Steve. Yeah.
Steve had organized everything. All right, here's a box for you. Here's a box for you. So the funniest thing about the whole trip, before the trip even started, we're in the parking lot, and there's 6 of us, and Steve's got this little, all right, here's what we got to do.
Steve had a system.
Steve had a megaphone. There's 5 of us there. All right, guys, listen up. And I'm like looking. I'm like, dude, we got a megaphone for it, man. There's only 5 of them. But my brother and I were running one of the buses, and Steve said there's enough sandwiches, there's 1 for each person. And it was Captain Harvey, said they were big. And I'm like, I'd like to have one of those for a ride home. So my brother and I went to Hennessy's bus and took two to Subs.
Put them on ice?
And put them on ours. When he got on the bus,
he was short.
He was short, too. He was all pissed off. Until right now, he didn't know I was the one that took those sandwiches. But, dude, that was such a party. On the way there, the people on my bus said, hey, can we stop and get alcohol because we ran out of alcohol? And I was like, dude, I don't know if we can do that because – and then they got together a kitty. They're like, we'll give you $500
pull
if you
over.
Stop. I said, pull over. But the
we pulled into a really, like a boarded up one in Detroit on one of my trips. One of my really fun trips, we did Canton, Cleveland, and Detroit before they ripped down Tiger Stadium. And so this is before the stage, in 97, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But we did a Midwestern baseball trip where we saw games in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Detroit. And came back.
That's a pretty good trip.
Yeah, and went to the Hall of Fame. And it was a small trip. It was 30 people. I mean, the bus had space on it, as I remembered it. And I was a little disappointed, but I just wanted to make the trip, right? I wanted to go to Tiger Stadium. And we got to Detroit, and we did a group kitty. We were like, let's stop and get some fresh beer. Let's stop and get some food. But those were, like, my wife did the bus trips down to New Orleans, and they were all stopping at different places on the way back to get food and get beer and stuff like that, because you can only put so much on. You have to get ice at some point.
On one of the buses, the toilet on the bus was completely filled.
I hate to hear this stuff. I just made so
their trip home had a river going down the aisle.
I just made Nestor boss face for the first time. God, I can't believe
this stuff
that
we didn't tell you about when I was working for
Well, right. I mean, I believe me, there were many things I found out about much later on. Ray Bachman's here. 25 years we've been doing this. And you're like, dude, what are we going to talk about, man? Like,
nobody cares about what I have to say. I've been gone so long, they don't even know who the hell I am.
They know who you are from Trivia Night, Dan. You're a legend down here. You still doing trivia?
Yep.
What do you do? Tell me where you are.
Monday
promote,
night.
Promote away. Go ahead.
What's today? Tuesday. Tuesday night, Mike's Crab House in Riva.
On are the all South of these River. In Anne Arundel County?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Wednesday, Bella Napoli in Pasadena. Thursday.
How's my dude doing there?
Pasquale actually sold place about a month ago.
Really?
Yep.
Did he sell the crab soup recipe?
I don't know.
Got to find out.
Haven't figured that out yet.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Pasquale. Okay, go ahead.
Thursday, Anne Arundel Seafood, Mountain Road.
All
that's
right.
A cool place. All the seafood's on ice. All the beer's on ice. Give me a pound of scallops. Give me a pound of shrimp.
What night is Wednesday?
That's Thursday.
Thursday night.
Wednesday night.
What
Bella
time?
Napoli. Wednesday, 6:30. Thursday, 6:30. Monday night, hole in the wall, dive bar. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying I called Alibis in Pasadena. And that's 7 o'clock.
Cheap beer?
Cheap beer.
I'm in.
Good bar food.
I'm in. Why wouldn't I go?
Good bartenders, yeah. I love the hole in the walls.
I'm from Dundalk. Come on. How many hole in the walls you and I been to? If you and I are in the place, it's a hole in the wall. No offense to Pappas, you know. But
I remember going with you when we were in San Diego. Why were we in San Diego?
Super Bowl. We stayed downtown. It was Super Bowl.
Oh, you're right.
It was a 2003 Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right.
You and I went to San Diego. No, we were in Oakland, and we went down to San Diego. We went to the AFC Championship game.
That's what it was.
In Oakland, you and me. We went to Oakland also for the Ravens,
too. Schwartz one time.
Schwartz. It was the Titans.
And the Raiders.
The Titans and the Raiders won the game. And then the Super Bowl was in San Diego.
Okay.
And they got their ass kicked by Tampa.
I feel like we flew up and then flew
back. We flew to Oakland for the championship
game.
And
then back to San Diego.
And then
okay.
Went down to San Diego for the game. Yes.
You're right. Anyway, we went to Pacific Beach or something.
Okay.
You remember that?
And
we go
do.
In this bar, and we were just super out of place. Like, we stuck out like sore thumbs. You had your big leather
we were too classy?
Trench coat. Nah, we were just, no, we were not cool. They were all cool. We weren't. It was just like a
biker?
Trendy beach crowd.
Beach that, crowd.
Yeah, it was like something you would see on a TV show. And I just remember walking around there going, man, we're sticking out like sore thumbs.
Why would you think
that? It was a really
that?
Big place, and then you go into like another room. They had this giant movie screen with TVs everywhere.
I don't remember this.
I'll figure out where it was.
All right.
Maybe I'm just imagining all this.
Well, I've been to San Diego enough. I mean, you've only been a couple times, so maybe your recollection of it, because it all kind of runs together for me. And that, like, I had Leslie Shreve here before you came, and she's Productive Day, helping executives get more organized and stuff. And I found all my date books. You remember the date books I used to have in my back
absolutely,
pocket,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I found them all this week, and it was the Deion Sanders. And my wife even said, Casey put a picture of you and him and Deion up from
Cordell.
That night. And Cordell
Hill, yeah.
Wearing a
Putty
Yankee
Hill.
Hat at Putty Hill Station, which is now a McAvoy's. And I get my snowballs in the parking lot there. And that night was kind of legendary, right? Like Deion Sanders yeah. Showing up in a and I'm wondering, is that a top 25 WNST memory? I think it is, but either way, I wanted to figure out the date, and I Wikipedia'd that Deion was 04 and 05. And then I saw Cordell Stewart was 04 and 05, and I'm like, all right, when was it? Where was it? Jen's like, he was wearing a full-length
fur coat.
Mink coat. It was cold out. And I'm like, yeah. I remember it being cold that night, so it had to have been like late October, November, December. And I couldn't find the date. And I had the date book, and I finally found... I went through my date book, and it says there...
You still had that book from that long ago?
I have every date book of my life in... What's the calendar of my life? It's like Mary Lou Henner. So I put them all together. See, I'll show everybody that I'm crazy. But these are all my calendars. And your name's in here 1,000 times, man, because, like, you would book guests for me. I don't know what that is, but that's okay. Oh, it's a Denver Bronco.
What?
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
We beat them.
They still have a team?
You're welcome for John Elway. We gave him John Elway. So, how many Super Bowl rings do we have?
Counting the Colts and the Ravens?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't measure my self-value in Super Bowl rings anymore. But anyway, the date minders here that we've had for all these years, I have every barn show. So if John Ogden was at the barn that night, it says Ogden Barn. If Ray Lewis was there, it says Ray Lewis, right? So when I go back and try to piece it together the 1998 season to say what night was Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson there, I can listen to it and hear us talk about the Green Bay game the day before, and then I can immediately say, oh, that was obviously right. That week, because you can... But things get lost, man. 25 years is a long time, right? I mean, like, I look at all...
Goes by quick, too, brother. Don't blink.
And it is kind of crazy. And now I've been thrown out, right, by the Ravens. I'm writing a letter to Steve Bisciotti next week, as well as John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, Sashi Brown. They'll all hear from me. But, like, on the other side of this, to measure everything we did for 25 years here and the people that were involved in it, like you and all these people that were on the bus trip, even the two guys you screwed out of a sandwich that would remember all these years later. Oh, I got a crab cake. Come on. Here. We're Pappas, by the way. Pappas, they just bring you crab cakes. It's great. You know what I love about
That's
this,
man?
It's
a nice-looking crab.
You get a little crispy on the bottom, which is it's sort of like, you know, business on top, party on the bottom. I like that. Pappas Restaurant, we're in Glen Burnie. Ray Bachman is here, our longtime executive producer. People come to me all the time, and they tell me that they miss our monologues. Where, like, the show would start, the nasty theme song. I'd say, hey, Ray, what's up? And you'd say, you know, my daughter's in preschool, or just, you know, your daughter's, like, in college now. Yeah. Or something like that, right? How old's your kid now?
Ryan just turned 21. She's in cosmetology school. So I'll be getting free haircuts soon.
Do you have any hair to cut?
Yeah.
I got a lot of hair.
Not bad.
Did you know me when I had long hair the first time? You didn't meet me till after that, right?
I was there.
Were you there?
Didn't Brad Pennington cut your hair?
Pennington cut my hair.
I wasn't there, but I remember. I used to listen to you before I met
you. So you were a listener.
You know how? So I would come home from work around 4:30, go take a shower. I lived with my grandparents. And they listened to 1360 Legends Radio because it had Wayne Gruen. Wayne Gruen, was that his name?
Yeah, Wayne.
Wayne Gruen. And he would go off, the program you're about to listen to,
that was,
it's not the Views.
That was Ken Jackson. Ken Jackson did that wrestling, the following program.
Right.
Yes,
and then you
yes.
would come on, it would be this, you want to get nasty song.
Right, right.
And I was like, what's this? And I just started listening to you. And then I went on a trip. The spring training. I thought it was 95, 96.
I shared that picture today. Did you see that one on Facebook?
And you had an Aparicio jersey on. I came up to you. I said, dude, are you Nestor? He was like, who are you? I was like, I listen to you.
Nobody
like,
listens to me.
You're the
Coleman
guy.
Jerry Coleman says no one listens.
You're the guy.
Right, yeah.
Nah, you said, come over to Marriott. We're doing the show live tonight. I'll throw you on. I went over, and that picture that you posted was the first time I was on the air with you.
I'm wondering if I have the tape of that.
After the show, you're like, I don't really know my way around Fort Lauderdale, and you hung out with us. We may have went to, like, the Baja Beach Club or something, but that was the first time we ever hung out.
Wow. And you have a picture of it. Like, I guess your brother took it or something like that?
Because
your former wife's in it.
Yeah.
No, she's in it.
She's in it.
She's in
the foreground. My uncle was there, too.
Your uncle took it.
Yeah, so.
And that was at the Doubletree in Fort Lauderdale on Cypress Creek. And that was 96. I said 95. Is that wrong?
Whatever
you
year
sure
we
was
signed,
96?
Whatever year we had David Wells.
96.
It's 96.
Because the 97 year, I did it from the Marriott, And that year I had Alomar and Pat Gillick and Kevin Malone came and sat. But you didn't start working with us or for us.
I worked
us.
With you that year. Because
you did the Mountain Dew booth.
Yeah, so what happened when once we got back from spring training, you put an ad in a paper.
Steve did that, yes.
I answered the ad. No, there was no Steve yet.
It's before Steve.
Yeah,
I knew you before Steve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So you put an ad, and I answered the ad. You said, dude, I know you, I like you, I trust you, I hung out with you, but I want to give everybody a fair crack at running this booth. I need somebody who can get to and from the stadium who don't get – I said, dude, I live a five-minute walk from the stadium. You said, you're hired. That's
here
how,
we are,
that's
years
how
later.
It started, yeah.
27 years later,
and
wow.
I had met Alan McCallum the first time I did the booth. Alan came by the booth because he was your – ballpark reporter, but that was definitely before Steve.
Alan came into my life. My high school English teacher, Sue Monday, was she had worked at Macy's and worked in HR. She's been in radio for a long time up in the Jersey Shore. Sue Monday was my high school English teacher. She taught me Catcher in the Rye and Grapes of Wrath and John Steinbeck. She hit me and said, you got a radio show. What if I answer phones or produce? I want to get into radio, is what she said to me. I'm like, why do you want to do that? This is 1994. And she came in one day. She said, I met this young man who's an usher at Oregon Ridge. He loves baseball and knows everything about the Orioles. He might be a good guy for you to talk to about doing the ballpark job because Tom Kapp didn't want to do it every night. Right. Howard Scherer was doing it for me at that time, too, Hump and Howie. And Alan came down. He said the end of 95. So that would have been the Ripken period that he came into my life. And we went to, I mean, when Alomar hit the home run in Cleveland, we were together. When Jeffrey Mayer reached over the fence, we were with Scott Garceau. I mean, our seats in Yankee Stadium, we saw his arms reach over from the side, not from the front. So, Alan, all these years later, I mean, the Orioles winning. Are you engaged at all? Or are you're like out of the sports thing because you, all of the scars.
I got old.
Well, I mean,
it's
you
just not as important to me as it used
okay,
to be.
Okay, fair enough.
All.
Yeah.
Like, the Orioles were my life.
Your life.
You know? Like
yes.
But now, I work at night, so I don't get to really watch the games. The connection's not there. I would love for them to win the World Series, but I don't have the passion that
I did. Are
you
feeling that all summer long, being in bars at night, that people are into it? Because the stadium's empty some nights. And get bobbleheads
out. Honestly,
yeah.
No.
Really?
I mean, people will say, hey, there'll be a handful, hey, turn the game on. But the fact that you even have to ask to turn the game on is kind of crazy.
Or trying to find the game if they're on Apple Plus.
That's another thing.
That, you know. I mean, Luke covers the team for me up in Shrewsbury. He's in Pennsylvania. There are games he cannot physically get on television.
But here's the crazy thing.
And that's crazy.
The crazy thing with the Orioles, I mean, to me, is, I mean, Cal Ripken's been retired 20 years. So these fans at the ballpark now, they don't know Cal Ripken or care about Cal Ripken or Rick Dempsey. You know, this bar's not there anymore. So it's a new era coming in. And the kids that are there now,
that's all they know.
And it's their time, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense. It just seems like there was a stopgap somewhere in between.
The stopgap was they lost 100 games, yeah. And the owner's been a dick for 30 years. I mean, like, literally, right?
But we had the 96-97 season, which we were the best team in baseball.
By the way, I want to thank Eddie Lauer brought this out to me the last time we were together. I brought this for you. The wire-to-wire 97 playoffs. Eddie came out and did the beginning of the 25th anniversary over. And I was just looking at sort of
that team was loaded, Master. We were the best team in baseball for those 2 years. Didn't win it all, but
They also spent
paper.
Gobs of money.
Absolutely.
People came down and supported the team. It mattered to the community in a way that they pretend it matters. But does it, you know? And now the owner comes out, won't sign a lease, talked poor mouthing about signing Adley Rutschman and signing Gunnar. I mean,
yeah, it's bad timing. Eric.
It's unbelievable that they're still there and effective when they've been such an awful company. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's because it's a whole new crew now. None of these guys care or know about any of that. All they know is what's in front of them right now.
But the people that spend the money do, the residue, you know, the part of that do.
Do they?
Well,
I mean, you go to the ballpark on a Friday night, it's 21-year-olds everywhere drinking, which is fine because we were those 21-year-olds before.
Oh, I agree with that.
I mean, being at the ballpark on the weekend is the place to be.
But the reason that you cared as a 21-year-old is your grandparents loved my cousin, or they loved Brooks Robinson, or they loved Boog Powell. I don't – the allure of this has nothing to do with J.J. Hardy or Manny Machado or – let alone Brady Anderson or Cal Ripken or Eddie Murray, right?
Somewhere along the line, it became a big business. And the guys, and I'm not picking on the Orioles, pick a team. Those guys on that team, they don't care about me, you, or the city, and they don't have to. That's not a bad thing. It's work. They go to work, and if tomorrow that other place calls, you know, New York or Boston.
Yeah, well, Flaherty, they tap him on the shoulder and say, you're going to pitch for the Orioles today, right?
Yeah, just.
That doesn't mean he loves crab cakes or he's going
right. to. There was a connection when we were younger. I mean, the guys
lived here.
The guys will be at Phillips. They will be at Henry's over on Ford Avenue after the game.
I mean, Rick Dempsey, all 40 years later, is putting their 50 years later, is putting together this, you know, baseball thing in Columbia. Mike Bordick's still here. I mean, B.J. Surhoff. I did the crab races with him down at Lexington Market. I mean, there are people
who. You and B.J. Surhoff got together?
I give B.J. his space. I've always respected B.J.
I was on B.J.'s team at the Ripken minor league experience.
I remember this. He's a gamer, dude.
And a lot of respect and love the guy. Very private guy, which is, you know, nothing wrong with that. But I took a lot of heat and had to run a lot of laps because of you when I played at Ripken Fantasy Camp.
Why? Because you worked
for me? When you and him and Palmero were all butting heads, remember? Ray, you work for Nestor, go do a lap around the property. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, I mean, I didn't think BJ didn't like me that much. I thought we fixed things. I never had things broken with BJ. I just was me, and, you know, it's okay. BJ and I traveled to China together. His wife, Polly, they do
what
great
was it,
things.
Was it Palmero then? It might have been Palmero.
It was Palmero.
Palmero.
Well, Palmero was, yeah, yeah.
Didn't somebody point a bad at
yeah, yeah. Well,
was that Surhoff or Palmero?
He pointed his finger, too, and said he hadn't cheated, right? Didn't do steroids.
He didn't know they were steroids. He thought it was B12.
Yeah, I can put my finger back at him all 27 years later. You're not going to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, where's another croc, too? You got, what, Clemens, the all-time strikeout guy?
Bonds, right.
Dude, baseball embraced steroids. Everybody was doing them. You embraced it. You allowed it to happen. Now you keep them out of the Hall of Fame. You got guys voting who never played sports a day in their life saying this guy can't go in because he did some steroids.
But Pudge Rodriguez is in. Big
there's,
Poppy.
There's a ton of people that's
yeah,
in it probably
right.
did them.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, that's...
It's just ridiculous.
We used to sit and take phone calls on this and try to have it make sense. Peter Angelos doesn't make sense. Steve Bisciotti's a billionaire. He doesn't have to make sense. None of this has to make any sense. I mean, let's take Lamar in a microcosm. Injured the last 2 years, couldn't finish the year. The last time we heard from him before the money was telling a fan in Pennsylvania to perform fellatio upon themselves out on Twitter. It stayed up for 5 days. It got taken down. Nobody ever got to ask him a question about it. He never faced the media on it. And the next time he showed up at a press conference was to pick up a $72 million check. It's just a different... Do you remember when Aubrey Huff called Baltimore a manure hole?
That was after he left.
No, he was here. He can't. No. He played here that year. He played here, dude. He came back and
played.
He
was still here when he said that?
He was still here when he said it, and he came back and played and made $3 million that year.
Well, maybe we're doing something.
Well, I guess my point is what you expect. I got into this 32 years ago, and I've known you 27 years, 28, whatever it's been. You know that at heart, all of this Ravens and Orioles crap was about loving the city. It's about loving Baltimore, right? It said Baltimore on it, therefore I'll fight you for it, right? Like, that's really what, for everybody that loved the Orioles or loved the Ravens, was about loving our, it was a way to show our community. Put the B on the hat, put the Baltimore on the jerseys. You know, one of the things we fought here forever was Baltimore on the road jerseys. Do you remember that was a thing?
Absolutely.
I mean, Drew
yep.
lost his mind on that. We did 8 years of Baltimore on the road jersey. I mentioned it. It was a topic when I talked to Peter Angelos in March of 1997. So in March of 97, I'm giving the owner, like, they're the Orioles. Why wouldn't you put Baltimore on the road? Well, there are certain people.
It's the Mid-Atlantic
all that. Yeah, all that, right? So by 05, 06, the Nationals existed. We're free the birds. We still was no Baltimore on the road jerseys. They didn't put the Baltimore on the road jerseys until 09, I believe. So it took them even 4 years after Washington.
You can't blame
had a team.
Them prior up to D.C. having a team.
Why?
If you're marketing to all these different places and you think it's going to hurt your business or hurt your money.
Why? How would it hurt them?
I don't know if it would. I said, it would have.
Well,
And as an Oriole fan, Nestor, I mean, we didn't get to go to too many away games growing up as a child. So I never even really paid attention to it.
But now it's all they sell.
Right.
I guess that's my point. Yeah. My point is, we, for 12 years, were trying to get them to put Baltimore on the road jerseys to honor Baltimore. They refused to do it, but when it became financially expeditious for them, they do it and then act like it's always been that way, that they've cared about the community, right? Like these goofy black things they're wearing now, the ones they lose in every Friday night in a year when they're 35 games over 500. They wear those black jerseys or like a...
And the pitcher got hurt wearing one.
Oh, right, the whole
too,
deal, right? I mean, those jerseys are not good mojo, but it says Baltimore on. Everybody wants to own one because at heart, you want to love the community you're from, right? And then, you know, and then you're down here in Pasadena and the city's rough and people don't want to come and nobody wants to come to the city. And then Baltimore itself has this reputation for not being hospitable or safe or likable or whatever. But now they trade off of it. And I guess that's my point all these years later. The only thing I've ever traded off of is Baltimore. Not really off the Ravens or the Orioles. It's off of... People listen because they love Baltimore. They love the city. They love the community. They want to feel like they're a part of something, you know? And only sports does that.
The only thing that stays the same, everything changes.
Money. There you go. How'd you know that?
Top of the food chain there.
Ray Bachman's here. He knows nothing about sports anymore. He used to be an expert on the radio, our longtime executive producer. All of our fun signs can be found. The old Stomp Them Saints, this was an early sign here. I think this was a 96er, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back and check that out. I can still smell Memorial Stadium on it.
Did you do something for the Dolphins and the Saints when they were at Memorial Stadium?
I didn't do a sign. I was there that night.
Give Baltimore the ball or something.
So that night...
That wasn't you that said that? That was just the thing,
Give
right?
Baltimore the ball was the name of the theme of the game,
gotcha.
Right? I have my ticket and my press pass that night. The thing I'll tell you about that night is I did not have a parking pass. I was new to radio. It was in 1992 or 3. I was just getting on the radio. It was a very unorganized game, right? It was put on, I think, by the Stadium Authority at the time, maybe Memorial Stadium, who was paying them, right, to do it. There were three competing groups trying to get the expansion team that we never got, by the way, as a history lesson, Charlotte and Jacksonville. I still have to say that 30 years later that people know that we lost that expansion race. But that game, that night, I was on the air 5 to 7. It was a Friday night, and I went over to the stadium, and it was the typical Memorial Stadium issue. There was nowhere to park, and it was packed. Did you go to that game? You were a kid at the time, 1993?
I was out of high school.
Okay. It was mobbed packed. John Mackey got his ring at halftime that night. It was a chance to show how much we love football. We want to be back in the league. We've been gone 10 years. And I barely got in there. Like, I got parked somewhere over by City. I mean, it was just a nightmare to get there. And I remember going up to the press box. And, you know, all of it was, like, a little weird because we had just left baseball there, right? And the Bowie Bay Sox were, like, about to play there or whatever. So the stadium wasn't, like, a foreign place. But seeing a football game there, seeing an NFL game there was weird. After all, because I went to all those Colts games in the 70s and 80s. So I went up there, and I stayed until halftime, and I left at halftime. This game was friggin' – it was a mess. It was the drunkest, unruliest –
It was Memorial Stadium.
It was a show, dude. It was the drunkest. It was Preakness with 50,000 football fans drunk, yelling on a Friday. I mean, it was...
Sounds about right.
And this was before the CFL came, right? So it was the one football game that everybody had to go to. The NFL was coming back. If you wanted to give a middle finger to Pete Rozelle or Tagliabue, I guess, was running it by then. But, like, that was a legendary, one-of-a-kind night. Totally one of a, you know, never to be replicated.
I was telling my son the other day, I said, when we went to Memorial Stadium, you went, you parked, you weren't leaving because it was bumper to bumper. You were in the middle of the,
dude,
there was 10 cars on each side of it.
I see, like, the helicopter.
So if you had
pictures,
to leave, you weren't leaving.
And it's incredible how they create, it looks like a toy, you know, like toy cars.
Yeah,
for the 50s and 60s,
it was legit. If you were in the center, there was 100 cars around you.
So in my neighborhood, my dad, we never drove, but my dad, we always took the bus. And when Mr. Pete would want to drive, because I ain't taking a goddamn bus. And my dad would be like, it's bumper-to-bumper parking, Pete. Like, you're on the bus, and we'll be home in 45 minutes, no problem. You sit out there, we're not leaving, right? So we always took the bus. That was our way.
We number three, caught it on Pratt and Calhoun.
I don't have that experience as a kid of sitting there waiting. I have that at concerts, leaving the Capitol Center parking lot. You know, I have that all the time.
You weren't going anywhere.
But yeah, but Memorial Stadium, I don't, as a kid, we got the first bus.
Yeah, we were always on the buses. I got older and we drove. I mean, I remember sleeping.
Driving to Memorial Stadium, mistake. It's a mistake.
The coolest thing about Memorial Stadium was when you made that right on Charles Street.
And the lights.
And you just, not Charles, 33rd coming off Charles, and you just saw the lights. Something special
the
about
lights,
that, wasn't
man.
It?
Yeah, man. Make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. All right. Ray Bachman is here. We're at Pappas. This is the delicious Pappas crab cake. They're in Cockeysville. They're in Bel Air. They're in Parkville, the original location here in Glen Burnie. It's all brought to you by our friends at Raskin Global. Ray, you had a lot of things in your life. You've seen one of these. This is a crab mallet with the beer opener on the side. That's a two-for-one. That's the American dream. Raskin Global, RaskinGlobal.com. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Get them at Labor Day weekend. It's 10% off. Buy two, you get two free. Tell them we sent you, as always, 866-90-NATION. And Ray's got his lottery ticket. Anything you want to say about life these days? I mean, trivia, get people to come out. And like, what makes a good trivia night for you?
I just go out and have fun. I mean, my crowds are kind of built in. So it's a lot of the same people every week at the same place.
How do you not do the same questions and get cheating?
Well, you got to have your phone away. Your phone's out. You're not winning. You can bring your phone out.
Okay. All right. All right. So phone is?
No phone.
No phones.
Put your phones
okay.
away. And I try to build my questions around the crowd.
You know, so if you see me with my long hair and so
after,
you're thinking he likes music.
After
I'm going to do
a few
music
times
questions.
Around, I can figure out. You don't want to go asking. People don't like coming out getting stuff wrong. So you got to ask stuff that people's going to get right.
I wonder what I look like, man. I was down Ocean City a week and a half ago. I'm out on the deck about 11 o'clock at night. Bill Cole's with me. Joe Enoch, Candace are there. They send their love. Girl comes up to me, 11:30 at night, at a political event. And this will tell you where we are in the world. We're standing here. Girl comes up. She says, hey, you got any weed, man? And I'm like, what? I'm like, she's like, come on, man. You look like the kind of guy that has weed.
Spicoli.
And I'm thinking to myself, is it the hair? I said, so anyway, I don't know what I look like. Apparently, I look like that to a 24-year-old girl.
So a strange chick just came up and said you got weed?
Well, it's legal,
what
right?
What did you say?
I said, no. I don't, you know, I said, I can't help you. You know, I said, why do I look like the guy?
No.
Well, Meet me out back. Yeah. No, but I have a gummy right here, a special package. Concerts for you and me. We can talk sports all day long, but I mean, I run into you. You and I share.
No, hold on. Here's Nestor. I'm at Hall & Oates, Merriweather, second row. Nestor texts me, hey, I'm all the way up on the top lawn. Come hang out with me. I said, I'm not coming up there, dude. I'm in the second row. I'm drunk. I'm staying here.
Daryl Hall spitting on me right now.
All right. Every concert I go to, I said, I guarantee I run into Nestor. I don't even seek you out. We just.
What shows are you going to in the next 10 weeks?
Next 10 weeks? I don't know. What do I got? Well, we got Kicks coming up in a couple weeks, right?
You're going to be at Kicks?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll be at Kicks. All right, so I will see you there. See, I try to get Ray on the show for months, and then I wind up bumping into him, and he avoids me, doesn't want to come. I got nothing to say, man.
Aerosmith, end of the month.
You going to Aerosmith?
Got to, right?
So Black Crows are opening.
I've never seen them. I want to see the Black Crows.
You never see the Black Crows?
We're never
going to see the Black Crows because Steve's not on drums, but you can see Rich and Chris. They call it the Black Crows, but Steve's not there, so it pisses me off. And Steve's Anne Arundel County legend, Steve Gorman.
Was that the dude that did the sports
book.
Show?
Yeah, Steve Gorman, yeah.
I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking he was in a...
Gorman's doing radio...
Counting Crows. I was thinking
No. Steve Gorman is from Severna Park. He drummed... He's a rich founding member of the Black Crows. He wrote one of the greatest rock books. You still read a little. Get his book. Get Steve Gorman's book on the Black Crows. You don't need to like the Black Crows, love them. It's the best rock book I've ever read.
Better than Sammy Hagar?
It is really good, dude. Sammy, he writes a chapter about how Jimmy Page was dying to be in their band and begged to be in their band, and they all screwed it up so bad that they offended Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. The guy from Led Zeppelin wants to be in my band, and they screwed it up, and he wrote about how they screwed it up.
I got to check that out.
He also wrote about how Rich one night got pissed at them and stole the tour bus and stranded all of them in a city.
Sounds like a good book.
So, yeah, concerts. So Black Crowes are playing. We got Springsteen at Oriole Park.
Got Billy Joel.
Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks. Don't forget about that. Peter Gabriel's around. Now, here's something that you need to do, all right? And I'm going to tell you, because get true when you do this. Nile Rodgers and Chic, now they're opening for Duran Duran. That's fine. You get down there and see that. But they're playing Artscape in the city on the 23rd of September. Same day as Trifecta. It's in the afternoon. Nile Rodgers and Chic was the best show I saw last year.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people.
They opened for Duran Duran, and it's a week after Kicks.
Did you go to Earth, Wind & Fire last weekend?
I did. I went to Earth, Wind & Fire and Lionel. Earth, Wind & Fire was better than Lionel.
Earth, Wind & Fire brings it every time.
Every
time. They're 75 years old.
Philip Bailey sitting
the
out
voice.
There. Fantasy. Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then that Ocean's Calling Festival in Ocean City now.
Yeah,
you got John Mayer.
I got weddings that weekend.
You got Alanis Morissette. I want to see Lana Del Rey of Meriwether on the 1st of October. I really want to do that. And then Billy Joel, and then, obviously, John Mayer.
Is Billy Joel at M&T or at...
Billy Joel's at the football stadium, and Springsteen's at the baseball stadium. And here's something I'm doing, because you love my mother.
We got Queen two nights in Baltimore, too.
There you go. So that week, October 23rd, Sammy Hagar is playing in Greenville, South Carolina, playing a little theater with The Circle, doing a lot of all Van Halen, Sammy Hagar, a little Led Zeppelin.
Well, I've seen him at Wolf Trap, one of the best concerts I've seen in recent memory.
Okay, so I'm seeing that show. I've been trying to get to Greenville, South Carolina for 20 years. My mother's from a little town called Abbeville, about an hour south of there, and toward the end of my mother's life, I was going to try to take her down there, but she wasn't mobile enough.
Right.
And I thought it might upset her. I thought taking her down there to her hometown, she may spend 3 days crying. And I really didn't want that for her at 94, 95.
Kind of like I do when I ride through my old neighborhood.
Right, exactly. So I never took her. She died 5 years ago. I've talked about going. The Eagles played down in Greenville at the Bilo Center down there about a year and a half ago. Didn't go. This Hagar thing happened in October. It's on a Wednesday. I'm flying down. I'm going to spend 2 days in my mom's hometown, just kind of chilling it out, seeing Abbeville, South Carolina, and I'm going to see Sammy Hagar.
That's the only trip
I have booked.
What's the date?
25th of October. You want to go?
Maybe.
Come on, man. I'm going. I go down after the 24th and then back on the 26th. And this doesn't mean anything to you, but Depeche Mode's playing that week, and I'm definitely seeing Depeche Mode. So, I'm doing that. Kix saying goodbye. What? Come on, man.
You knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
You used to go see Funny Money all the time.
Yeah.
I forgot that Kix broke up. I mean, John Allen and I got into a fist fight about that over at Costas. He's like, no, they were doing Funny Money. When he's doing Funny Money, he wasn't doing Kix. And I'm like, I didn't really know that. I just thought Funny Money was like a side project.
Once Nirvana hit, Kix disappeared. Funny Money, they would play Daytonas a lot, and I was a house DJ down there for a while, so I got to check them
out. But Funny Money was all Kix songs, right?
No, they had four original albums. The first one was a lot of Steve stuff that never made the Kix records.
But if you went to see Funny Money, would he play the Itch and like?
They would play some Kix songs.
But not a lot. Okay.
They would never play Don't Close Your Eyes. They would never play it.
Right, okay.
And finally, near the end, Steve said, what the hell, everybody's coming out, they want to hear it, we'll do it. So there was a point where they started to do it, but he just said it didn't feel right doing it.
You know what's the craziest thing for me is my wife is of the era. She's a little younger than me. And to her, like, Don't Close Your Eyes is a song she knows well, grew up with, knows everywhere. I took her to, if they played Heritage Fair, and my wife doesn't know anything about Kix. She's from New Hampshire, you know? So why would she? And we were leaving the concert, like, and they were playing Don't Close Your Eyes, and we were, like, in that little area in downtown Dundalk, and she's singing every word from the distance.
Dude, MTV, I mean, that was in heavy rotation. It was when they had that total requesting after school.
It was
number
one song.
It was in the top 10 every day, yeah. I mean, for a good run, back when the power ballots were the thing.
And it's interesting to me that they're known for that in a way. When I think of them, I think of them as our band, our local. I say that, Steve, all the time. I think of The Itch, and I think – the first time I saw Kix was with Aerosmith at the Capitol Center in 1982 or 3. It was when Perry and Whitford weren't in a band, and – Jimmy Crespo and Rick Dufay were doing guitars. Steven Tyler was smacked out of his mind. I have pictures. He looked smacked out of his mind.
I know a couple people that were at that show.
Somebody else was supposed to open that show and didn't do it. Fastway or like one of those bands, right. And they filled in. And they were so much better that night. And I have pictures from that show of Steve sitting on this crane with an umbrella singing For Shame that night. So this is 42 years ago.
It's crazy, isn't it? I remember the live album when they were at College Park.
Oh, yeah.
I used to ride around and listen to that all the time. And, like, Blow My Fuse, which was their
what a
commercially
great
the biggest record, that hit at the right time because that's when I was getting into Hammer Jacks.
Cold Blood, man. Red Light, Green Light.
And if you go on YouTube, you can watch old Hammer Jack shows from there. And, like, Donnie Purnell, who's, the original bass player, that guy was a beast. Like, watch him, you forget how good of a bass player he was. And he's a maniac on the stage.
So Jen had never seen John Allen play drums. And we've been to dinner with John 20
See, John Allen's the drummer to me. You know what I mean?
Well, and he deals with that. We talked about that in the segment, just like how people come up and say, hey, I want to see you play the drums, you know? And my wife had never seen him play. And then I went to the reunion. He played the drums the night Sarah Fleischer retired. Yeah. And then he played the drums. It was kind of a Kix Child's Play hybrid band then. It was an amazing show. And then he played drums last summer at Soundstage for the Brian Jack reunion. And it was great. It was awesome. But my wife didn't go to either of those shows. So she showed up at Meriwether for M3 at noon. And she's not like, why do we have to get there at noon? And we were there all day, right? But it was a long-ass day back in May. And we had great seats because Styx left us tickets, right at behind the pit. And it was really loud. And he came on doing his Brian Jack thing barefoot. But then he got behind a drum kit. And it was really loud. And she's looking at me. She's like, oh, my God, he plays the drums like that? And I'm like, yeah, man.
He's a really good front man, too. I mean, he does a nice job.
Oh, John's like, John's one of the best friends in the whole world. They're about to go on tour. They're doing a big tour.
He toured with Motley when they were doing the Crew Fest.
SR-71, too.
Yeah, he was Charm City Devils.
Okay, right.
And I think Nikki Sixx had signed him to their label.
SR-71 was with Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that was at the
And Nikki Sixx did sign him.
We saw him there.
Yep. We got local legends,
Mitch
man.
Allen,
Mitch,
right?
Mitch, absolutely.
Yeah. No relation.
Not at all. Honor among Mitch.
They wrote some hit songs. I know Mitch has probably got a couple Grammys, and I know.
I told John
this
story.
I heard your story about the.
And he doesn't remember.
Was it 1985?
1985. I said to him, John,
I didn't know he wrote that.
There's this great song, man. Shook her ass on a hood of Whitesnake's car. She's still preoccupied with 1985. And I'm sitting there, and he's looking at me. He's like, are you kind of putting me on? I'm like, he's like, I wrote that song.
Until I watched your video, I had no idea either.
Well, I hope he's getting residuals on that. Ray Bachman's here. I'm going to give him residual crab cake. We're at Pappas and Glen Burnie. My longtime friend, executive producer, 25 years, lots of pictures, lots of stories. I'll leave with this because before I left with Jen, I shared those pictures of you and me with Lennox Lewis and Shannon Sharp, a picture with the old host of Talk Soup, John Henson, right?
Yeah, John Henson.
And then I shared a picture of you and me with John Amos from Good Times, incredible actor, Coming to America, the whole deal. I knew that boy was special. So I was looking through all the pictures, and the problem is you and I aren't in a lot of pictures together because you were the guy taking the pictures.
Right?
And I said that to Jen. I'm like, it's really a shame. I said, but what we always did was I would be there doing the show. You would take a picture of me and Don Shula from three different angles with the mic flags. Then you'd sit back down and do your thing, and then it would be done. And you would say, Mr. Shula, can I get a picture with you? And then I'd grab the camera, take a picture of you and Shula. And then you'd be like, hey, Ness, get in here. I'll get one of you. And then me and Don Shula take a picture. So I have all the same pictures. There's three pictures of me like this. And then there's one with you and then one with me. And there's not one with both of us in it.
That was when we had to get the photos developed.
Right here at the photo map by Michael's 8th Avenue in Glen Burnie. And by the way, I wanted to begin the show with this, but I made a wrong turn coming down here today. I got on the 97, sort of force a habit of going to the Bay Bridge. I was going to tell Stuart Pittman this, but I didn't. It wouldn't mean more to you. I took the 97 ramp, and I'm like, shit. Richie Highway, I'm seeing. I'm like, all right, I'll just go down to Baltimore National. I'll go down by Michael's 8th Avenue. And I got emotional. I started thinking about Scott Wagner. And I got off the ramp, and I made the left-hand turn where the light rail is, where 8th Avenue is. And I'm like, I'm going to take 8th Avenue. And I went by.
I went by last week, brother.
Where I got married, where I was a house DJ for 100 weddings, the boxing matches, concerts he had down there, and just how many times I would go down there and just drop by and go up on the second floor and just sit there and talk to him and Mr. Michael. Like, had nothing to do with working. I wasn't working. I was just selling in this area because I used to sell advertising. I would drive up and down Ritchie Highway trying to get sponsors all the time. My first sponsors was O'Toole's Fireside Inn. Ritchie Highway, yep. Georgia Avenue, right by the
right by
Taco
Seaside.
Bell,
right there, highway, and all, right?
Right there. And Fire so,
wow,
I almost like pulled over on the side of the road and just wrote, "I miss Scott Wagner." Like, I figured some people.
Scott was one of the best dudes ever. He was a people person. Like, nobody disliked Scott Wagner. Nobody. And I mean, my stories are. I lived a little bit closer. I would get that phone call, "Brother Ray, Brother Scott, what are you doing?" And I would ride. I need some help with a microphone or something. And I would ride over, and we'd sit there and, you know, shoot the crap.
Yeah, I drove by, and there's like this the bones of a building are going up. The bones of like a four story kind of looking brick. I don't know what it's going to be. It looks like an office park, right?
I heard they're just building it, and they don't even have tenants yet.
Okay, it's just it's an office.
But when they leveled it, I went by and took some videos. And I mean, I got the DJ. All the Baltimore boxing events for probably two decades. And, you know, my prom was there. It was the Glen Burnie skate rink.
You attended my wedding there that night. Yeah, absolutely.
The Glen Burnie skate rink.
So, anyway, Scott Wagner. If I had a drink, I would toast Scott Wagner.
Cheers, Scott.
With a non-alcoholic drink for Scott, at least for now. So we miss you, miss Michael as well. All right, man, let me get you out of here. Ray Bachman's here. We're going to split this crab cake. We're at Pappas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have strips of these. A lot of people back here are going to get some winners here. We had a $100 winner at Coco's a couple weeks ago,
nice.
So people really win. I've had three $100 winners, handful of $50 winners, lots of fives and tens and twenties. But somewhere out there, there's a $10,000 winner. It's the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery, 25th anniversary for what we do. We are featuring our 25 stories of glory. And I hope you appreciate this. This is going to be the theme. Time will not dim the glory of your deeds. Okay? So everybody out there that's helped keep this ship rolling, including this guy. You're a better producer than you are a guest because it was so hard to make you a guest on the show. As a producer, you were more dogged of booking Joan Jett on the show than I have been of chasing you around to try to get you on the show.
Before you jump off, a couple weeks ago, I was at home, had some tequila, on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and looked up the old WNST videos.
Okay, which ones did you look up?
Oh, man, they're all so funny now because they're
15 years old.
Yeah. And I was walking around messing with the interns and just agitating everybody. And
I got to take that stuff down.
There's like four or five really funny ones.
I won't
Might
take
not
it
be
down.
Funny to anyone else on the planet other than me, but I enjoyed them.
They'll be down by sundown. What time is it?
Good
down
memories.
By 6 o'clock
Good
tonight.
Memories.
I love Ray. He knows that. We'll get together at Kicks. I owe him a beer. Steve Whiteman and our friends from Stone Horses and Child's Play will be there as well. So on behalf of us who did sports forever, we still love rock and roll, getting together and doing that. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I will wear the funny floppy hat with Ray here at some point. I never did get those Miller Lite hats every year. I saw one in a third-hand store for like $30. It was from like the 80s or something. And I'm like,
I bought a mug in an antique store. Remember the blue Bush Beer Oriole mug?
It has Louis Aparicio on the side of one of them.
This one is actually...
It was the Hall of Fame classes they used to do every year.
It was blue and white and had like the bird. It might have had Channel 2 on it or something, but it was like $6. I said, I need
I think my Oriole one had Louis Aparicio, Cuellar, and, you know, Bleffery. They put a bunch of people into the Hall of Fame. It was an early part of the Oriole Hall of Fame, and it's a tankard.
Tankard, that's exactly
a tankard.
What it was.
It's a little plastic... Yep. It was almost like a sippy cup for a kid to drink milk out of, quite frankly. It's a little white plastic thing.
Tankard.
Tankard night at Memorial Stadium. Come on out. Ain't the beer cold. All right. Back for more on WNST. We're at Pappas in Glen Burnie. It's our 25th anniversary. I feel like Richard Scherr on Square Off. Back for more right after that. Stay with us.